Well, good morning. So glad that you're here this morning. Want to welcome our friends from Haida Gwaii that are watching, and we're excited they can join us in this way. How many are thankful for air conditioning in the building right now? Yeah, it's getting hot out there. Is anybody out there in the 48 degree weather? Anybody? No, that's good. Stay in. It's too hot out there. A lot of people don't understand how to deal with the heat in the morning. Open up all your windows, get a breeze flowing through really early, and then close it all up, lock it in, and it'll stay cool for you. So those are just that's Mark's medical advice for the day, all right? You can take that and do whatever you want with it. We are switching gears from our Galatians series, and we're going to move into dealing with conflict. How many like conflict? I actually like it, right? Attaboy. Because dealing with conflict, you know, you're going to deal with it wherever you are. Whether it's in your personal life, you're going to deal with conflict. In your professional life, you're going to deal with it in relationships, a lot of that. So, I mean, there's always something going on, right? And in dealing with conflict, there's a biblical way to look at things. You're going to have to take this and walk with it for a little bit after we discuss it this morning. But I always love... Conflict to me is great because conflict can bring things to the surface that need to be brought to the surface, but also it can also be a time when we don't actually do anything. And I'm going to kind of walk you through that hopefully this morning. But there's a great saying, wherever two or three are gathered, there will be conflict. You were thinking I was going to do something else, didn't you? That's because you're spiritual giants, and that's okay to think that way. And I'm glad that came to your mind at first. But wherever two or three are gathered, there is conflict. Because everybody has different personalities. Everybody likes it a certain way. Yeah? Do you like things a certain way, and your spouse, family member, whoever, doesn't like it the way you like it? You're all going, don't talk. She's here, he's here, and sitting beside me. But it's true. Conflict, to me... can bring out the best in a relationship. And I look at relationships as ceilings, okay? So you've got this ceiling here, and when you're going, oh, everything's great, fine and dandy, no matter what the relationship is, and it's good, when a conflict comes, you can either bounce off that ceiling and then the relationship is over, or you can break through that ceiling and the relationship will grow and be stronger. And I think a lot of the times we tend to just let it bounce off and walk away. And I don't know if that's always the right case. And a lot of times we want to be right. How many here want to be wrong all the time? They just love it when they're in a conversation and somebody goes, you're wrong. How's that make you feel? Pretty awesome, right? Yeah. When somebody says flat out, you're wrong, I get tingly because I'm like, oh, conflict, let's go. I'm ready. Are you ready? I don't know if you are. And it's important. It's important that we deal with conflict in a very biblical, very scriptural, very Christian way. And guess what has really helped with conflict in the church? COVID. No, I'm lying. It has not helped. It's been brutal. It's been horrible. Conflict has come up from people who believe in this and don't believe in that. And there's conspiracy theories and there's all sorts of stuff. Well, I'm here today to tell you, we can coexist together and have different views, okay? I'm going to take one thing, and I'm going to talk about it really quickly here, and it's the vaccination, okay? That's very polarizing around Christians. Everybody's like, oh, don't say it, don't do it. I just want to tell you, if you don't believe in now, first of all, let's just be clear. It's not a vaccination. It's a booster shot, okay, for your immune system. A vaccination is different, but they call it a vaccination. It's a type of, but technically it's a booster. So let's just, you know, medically speaking, let's just go there. Now, we'll call it whatever we want. We can call it anything you want to call it. There are, and we're not going to argue about what it means to get a booster or if you should or shouldn't. What I'm going to say is this. You can have your own opinion, but nobody else has to believe you, either or, on other side. But do your own research. Figure it out. Look into things. And don't just Facebook. If you've ever heard of an algorithm before, it's basically a thing that knows you. It's a computer program that knows you more than you know yourself. Why do you think when you're on Facebook, Instagram, the Twitters, I don't know what the kids are doing nowadays. What is it? Snapchat? And is that cool? I don't know. I can't figure it out. I got Snapchat. I put it on my phone. I'm like, where's the menu? I can't find anything. So kids, do what you got to do. But these things are programmed to figure out what you like. So you buy stuff. Not only that, they're there because anytime you search something, it finds out your preferences. So if you're a hardcore, let's use America because I don't want to talk about Canada. America, if you're Republican, chances are a lot of Republican stuff is going to pop up on your feeds. If you're Democrat, thank you, then that's going to pop up, right? And if you're whatever else, it's going to pop up. I don't know if you've ever done this. Michelle and I were sitting around. We don't have a cat, don't own a cat, don't want a cat, but we were talking about a certain thing about cats. And later the next day, I got ads for cats. Not to buy one. It was ads about other stuff. But we were talking about our dog and about pet insurance, life, I don't know, whatever. And it popped up. Like, it knows you. It knows what you want. And that's how it comes. Anyways, we get distracted by this. So don't find out your information on Facebook. Because Facebook, let me be clear on this, and this is where we're going to get some stuff sorted out real quick. This is going to change your life, and then we're all going to be like, hey, we all agree on everything the same. We're all the same. Facebook is a privately owned company. Okay? I mean, it's probably on the stock market, but what I'm saying is it's some guy created it, and from there, you signed up to be a guinea pig. You are the product. And that product is everything in Facebook. They're getting all your information. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm telling you what it is. Facebook, all these things are taking your information, and then they're going to produce something that you like, right? Because if you didn't like it, you'd never go back to it. So these algorithms are there to make you go. So how many times a day do you take this and say, oh, what's going on Facebook? Oh, it looks like Nicole had a really great lunch. That's fun. Right? Here's a picture of her food. Right? We do that, and then we just keep going through stuff, and it starts to learn our behaviors. It's not a place where you can freely express yourself because it's a company. It's like walking into a store, and the store owner is there and says, get out. Get out right now. I don't have to serve you. I don't want to serve you. They can do that. Facebook is the same. Twitter is the same. They're all the same. They're platforms. Okay, so just so we all know that, when you're looking for information, you need to get a whole bunch of it from all different sources, and it's a little bit harder to blast through to get the truth nowadays. It is. I don't know if you've tried, but you can't just believe everything that you Google because there's all sorts of stuff going on. So I just wanted to say that there's been conflict within the church in general because of COVID, because of what we believe, and what is happening is our belief system is being tested. And when our belief system is tested and it doesn't work, we get a little bit aggressive or we get upset about that or we retreat. There's all different ways we react. But then we will argue and we will fight because we don't like change. How many people like change? I love change. I like it all the time. I want it to constantly be changing all the time, moving, and it can be frustrating for some. So think about this. When we're dealing in our relationships and we have different opinions and beliefs and views. I like to hear everyone's opinion, and in that conversation, I've learned over time, I don't say, well, you're wrong, or even I disagree. I try to make it so I'm like, well, how about you fill me in on why you believe that way? And we all have to dig a little bit deeper to understand why. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, that's just because it's true, or just because? Well, that's because they don't know why they believe what they believe. They've just always believed it. So we have to challenge ourselves. And when it comes to conflict, we put ourselves first because we want to do one thing when we're in a conflict. We want to win. We want to conquer. We want to be the smartest person in the room. And I'm here to tell you, if you are the smartest person in the room, leave the room, please. Pick another one. Because you need to be challenged as well, okay? So, conflict happens. So I'm going to read a couple scriptures for you, and then we're going to get right into it. Matthew 22, 34 to 40, one of my favorites. Oh, Love it. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And then we move to Romans chapter 15, verses 5 to 13. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing your praises, the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord with all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him and explain. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise and rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, as followers of Jesus Christ, what do you think our first priority is in any situation? It's to glorify God with our actions, our thoughts, our behaviors. There's a reason why there's a saying out there that says, actions speak louder than words. Now, this isn't a case on works and faith. This is not what I'm talking about. But our actions convey our values, and our values convey our belief systems that we have put our faith and our trust in. I believe most conflicts, no matter what they are, between individuals, can be because of pride, because we want to be right, we want to win. And some of the other stuff can be just because of misunderstanding. But no matter what is happening in our relationships, the glorification of God is the most important aspect in the midst of our conflict. When we begin to engage in conflict by lifting up to God in prayer, first, before anything, we give him the glory, because we're giving him everything. We're giving him we're putting him in the driver's seat. But we don't like that. We like to be in the driver's seat, don't we? If you're a control freak like me, I love to be in the driver's seat. Michelle won't drive with me. It's a marital thing we're dealing with. It's going to be okay. But as you're married and you move along, you have to have this mindset of when something comes up and there will be problems, that you're able to put the other person's needs first. And it's difficult, but you will work through that. And you don't always have to be right, even if you are, like me all the time. So, but our actions convey our values. And these misunderstandings, this pride that gets in the way, is a bit of a problem. So when we come to him, when Jesus commands us to love God and to love neighbors as ourselves, our love for them has to come before the love for ourselves. The commandment comes in response to the question that the Pharisees had. And his response was amazing. Jesus' response was, he comes first. Very simple, boil it down. And we must do the same. One commentator says this. He says, because God is so dim in our modern consciousness, Jesus, his answer in this situation startles the hearers into a centeredness. The purpose of living is in the adoration of God, the love of God, and the cherishing of human beings. When a conflict arises, no matter what it is, whether it's a family, friend, a co-worker, a lot of times our first impulse is to strike first, because we want to get our two bits in. but our faith leads us to putting God first. And as long as we leave God out of the situation, we will still continue to have conflict. And I don't know if the conflict can truly be resolved. You know, the Apostle Paul in his teachings to the Romans talks about how Jesus responded here in all situations, and we are to be agents of grace. Romans 15, we find this broad set of instructions for right living, all beginning from the impulse to return to God with that same love that he has shown us. And it's not easy. It can be difficult. Another commentator says that all Christians, they live with the object of pleasing Christ to seek to use their lives in his service. And when it comes to dying, they glorify him by committing themselves to his keeping, meaning that they put their lives, their relationships, their families, their jobs in his capable hands. He can take care of all your needs, but you have to give it over. And our appropriate behavior, our right behavior towards others must be centered in the same way that God treats us. His actions towards us is loving. And it's all about love. When we take the time to lift those concerns to him, that's on a regular basis, that's when we begin to develop a habit of bringing everything, our experiences, our troubles, our conflicts, our wins to God. In the book Resolving Everyday Conflict, the author writes, one of the most valuable things you can do in a conflict is to simply stop. This is, you're about to do something or say something to put the conflict over the edge. This is, you're about to cause relationship wreckage, catastrophe. That's time to simply stop and ask yourself, how can I please and honor God in this situation? Now, the military does this. I don't know if you know this, but the military does it. Most paramilitaries, like any kind of emergency services groups, will do this too. And it's known as a tactical response. It refers to the benefit of stopping before anything gets out of hand or anything goes further in the midst of maybe military action or whatever they're doing in order to assess the situation. Military has a lot of cool ways of dealing with things that we can use in our own personal lives. And they do this tactical response by looking, by listening, and thinking before every decision, whether you're leading tanks, whether you're leading F-15 Eagles, whether you're in a production line dealing with problems in that. No matter what it is, a tactical pause can bring a ton of benefits for you. The stop, look, and listen is super important for you. But for Christians, there's one more. We stop, we look, we listen, and then I'd like to add, we pray. We pray. Because that's the time that God can really speak. When we stop, look, listen, and pray, we can hear his voice. Because we quiet things down and just settle things down for a moment. And in some cases, when we are hurt by someone, and this is where it gets tricky, maybe we're to overlook that hurt that they've done to us just to bring peace to the situation. That's something we need to think about. Maybe we just need to let it go. I'm not going to sing, don't worry. Let it go. Now, if significant harm is going on and someone is being hurt, that's different. There is a time when it needs to be dealt with. But when you overlook another person's faults, you deliberately decide not to brood. We don't use that term a lot, do we? Brood. Have you brooded lately? But it's basically, don't make a big deal out of it. I don't know if you've ever put yourself in other people's shoes when they've lashed out. And a lot of times you just happen to be the target that's kind of in the way. We need to be careful. We can't worry about it. Stop, replaying these situations in your mind after they've happened and taking it home with you and just brooding on it and then starting to think that they're against you. People do this and we can't do it. It's easy to slip in there. What do they really mean by that? Well, it could be just a passing remark. They didn't even think about it afterward. Sometimes it's just a good time to be quiet and let it go. In parenting, we call this choosing your battles. Have you ever chosen your battle? Where your teenager, not my children, they're angels, but I've heard that there are battles that can happen, and to die on a hill that's not, come on, do we really need to die on a hill that's not important? Choose your battles. When my kids were young, I used to let them wear whatever they wanted. I'm like, I'm not fighting with them, whatever they want to wear. They can wear whatever they want. And Michelle would say, what did you do? Why did you let them out of the house like that? And I'm like, because they wanted it. She's like, well, it doesn't even match. I'm like, they're kids. I'm not going to fight over this one, right? I'm not going to fight with them over that or hair color. Back in my day, if you dyed your hair, you might as well just, you're the devil, right? Because you dyed your hair. And tattoos, that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I'm positive about. But these things are things that we battle about. We don't need to battle about them. But there are things we do, and we need to decide what those are going to be. And you know what they are in your life. Sometimes just let it go. So there are times when conflict strikes. I want to do quick four things for you. Quick things you can say to God. I'm sorry, I missed that one. That's okay. First of all, ask God to give you a heart of mercy. And if you forget everything I've said this morning, remember this second line. The desire for reconciliation and fellowship should be stronger than the desire to win. Let me give you this again. The desire for reconciliation and fellowship. So the desire to make the relationship repaired, better, and fellowship, meaning coming together, hanging out, should be stronger than the desire to win or be right. In other words, let it go. Let it go. Secondly, ask God to help you stay positive through the negativity. You know, negative thoughts are fun to just wallow in. You feel sorry for yourself. Just sit there and, I love feeling sorry for myself. Everyone's against me. It's not a good place to stay. I mean, you can have those feelings, and it's okay to process those feelings, but don't stay there. Move past that. Move past that. Don't get sucked into negativity. It's really easy to react against a real problem and in the process become tainted by the way we react against it. So don't get stuck in negativity. Thirdly, help me not to take this criticism personally. How many like being criticized? Right? It's not fun. Because most of the time when people criticize you, they don't come to you with, a positive criticism like on, hey, I just thought you need some help with this, blah, blah, blah. Instead, they're like, wow, you just stink. You stink at this. You're horrible. That's usually how it comes across to us. But I want to give you a term that is actually going to probably change your world. It's called realistic optimism. I love this term. Realistic optimism is where instead of thinking right away that they're against you and are attacking you, think, well, maybe there's something else going on in their life. Maybe something else has happened why they lashed out. Maybe that's why they're always grumpy. So I'm going to give you a perfect example. Have you ever seen the movie Monsters, Inc.? It's an old movie, yeah. And there's this lady at the front, and she talks like this, right? I found a lady who talks like that, for real. And it was through a McDonald's drive-thru. So I pulled up to get a coffee, and he's like, welcome to McDonald's, can I take your order, please, Sidlowski? And I was like, what? I'm getting punked here, right? Like, who knows I'm here? And then I ordered my coffee. I'm like, what is going on? And she goes, all right, move ahead. So I move ahead going, what is happening? And when I get there, she's the nicest person ever. But she's like, sorry, the voice is just is funny. That'll be $1.10, please. And I was just like, okay, take it. Take it. And then I drove away just, but I didn't, at first I had this thought of like, whoa, what is going on? And I had all these thoughts in my mind of what she was going to be like, this grumpy, miserable person at the thing, like, here's your coffee, get out of here, right? Like just, and then when I saw her, she was super sweet and she was just really good at her job, but she was just very, there she was. And then I went back to I was going to the fire hall that day, and I said to the guys, I don't know if you know this. Have you seen Monsters, Inc.? And I told them, they're like, she's famous around here. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, she used to do she used to work at Tim Hortons, and now she's at McDonald's. And like, oh, yeah, she's well known around here. And I was like, I had no idea. But realistic optimism would have taken away that first thought of, oh, she must be just miserable, right? And instead, I made a quick judgment, and when I saw her, met her, it was done. Now, that was because I couldn't see her until I saw her, but how many times in your life have you just kind of had an interaction with somebody, and you made a judgment call on them? Realistic optimism takes that away, and it makes you recognize that there's more to the story in a positive way. It's not always against you. It's actually probably not even about you. Now, don't get me wrong. It could be you. It's very possible it's you. You know, we've searched all over the world and found out it's you. No. But it could be. So be careful. But the chances are it's not. Chances are it's not. Give people a chance. That's another way of saying this. Give them a chance before you write them off. Our world is full of this negativity about trash and people. If you've seen the news in the past 5 years, you've seen how bad it can be. And I'm not picking sides, I'm just saying it's bad. But because of our world, we instantly go on the defense because we're getting attacked and we feel like we're always being attacked. But when you are defensive, it actually hinders your ministry, your ability to help others, your ability to speak into other people's lives if you're on the defensive all the time. Because why would you be? I mean, really, if we believe anything in Scripture, if He is for us, yeah, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Come on, if He is for us, oh. I don't know what I'm going to do. If He is for us, it's better, but it's not great. And the very fourth thing realistic optimism is, I believe that you really meant that. All right. I'm going to go with that because I did such a great job, realistic optimism. Fourthly, how can I see my wrong? It was not my fault. I didn't do it. Usually if I see somebody of authority walk in a room, I'm like, it wasn't me, just so you know, it wasn't me. And they always go, it probably was. I'm like, yeah, you're right, I probably did it. But recognize your wrong. What did you do in this? Did you do anything? Like, assess the situation. It's important. What did I do? Did I do something? And if you don't know, and someone is upset, you could ask them if the relationship is being strained. Hey, did I say something to upset you? Because if I did, I didn't mean to. You know, maybe it just came out. It was whatever. That happens, right? And you know what would be really great? If that happened and somebody said to you, it's okay. I forgive you. It wasn't something that it bothered me, but I didn't take it with me forever because I know you, and you're not that type of person, and you weren't trying to be hurtful. It just happened to come out that way. It's okay. Let it go. I had somebody tell me years ago, they're like, your immaturity to forgive people is just astounding. And I went, I like that. Your immaturity to forgive people, because I forgave and forgot. Now, a lot of that has to do with memory issues, which is probably good for all y'all, right? Something goes wrong, I forget. I'm like, I'm over it, right? Within no time. I don't want to brood. I'm going to use that word, brood. But yeah, I don't want to sit there and think about it and wreck my day when I don't really know the full situation. But wouldn't it be nice if we just forgave? Yeah? So if there's something going on in your life this morning that you need to forgive someone, you don't have to go up to them and say, I forgive you. That's an awkward start to a conversation. Why don't you just do it and forgive them and let it go and then be done with it? Realistic optimism. I'm forgiving them. I don't have to say anything. The problem is solved. My feelings aren't so fragile. I'm not this crystal vase that has to be handled with white gloves. You know, I can handle it. I'll forgive. I'll let it go. And I don't have to say anything. And I'm just going to start being loving and caring towards others. And they'll realize I let it go. And the other person, the relationship is mended. No more issues. Wouldn't that be great? You're like, yeah. It's probably going to rain. Eeyore. You guys are wild today. What's your part? What's your part in it? I don't know, but you better think it through. And decide, is this something I need to worry about? Or is this something I just should let go and forget? If it's something you have to deal with, then deal with it. But don't turn it. You know what they used to do in church? They used to say, the Holy Spirit has really been impressing upon my heart for you to forgive me. Was he? Or was that just you wanting them to forgive so you have control in the situation? Right? Because who wants control? We do. Ego. I want control. So you should forgive me and I'll accept your forgiveness. Now, what we want to do is make sure that we just forgive and let it go. If it's a reoccurring thing, different story. But on the most days people aren't out to get you. They're not. You don't know what their morning's been like. You don't know what news they got yesterday or this morning. You don't know what's happened to them at all. But you think, well, I have a pretty good idea. No, you don't. You don't know. You don't know what goes on in people's heads on a regular basis. And so when we are to bring everything to God, and we're to love him, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, that's when we can make a huge difference in our community, in our workplace, and this church can make a huge impact wherever you go. Because we're not holding grudges. We're loving God, loving each other, and laying things down at the altar. If there's somebody who's wronged you in the past and you can't forgive them because they've either passed away or moved away or you don't have contact with them, forgive. Give it to him. Give it to him. Let God deal with it. No matter what situation you are in right now, hand it over and let it go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you we can come to you. Thank you that your word is stronger every day in our lives. And as we look to your word for direction, as we deal with our conflicts and our problems, help us to know when it's a time to just completely let go, or help us know when it's time to come to someone and talk to them about it. But let us understand that it's not always the case. Sometimes we just have to let it go. We have to just give it to you and let you deal with them, because you are more than capable of handling our issues. Help us to recognize what we've done in the situation to make things worse, and help us to change for the better, because we want to be an example of Jesus Christ to those that need him. Help us to do that
as we move forward. Give us a great Sunday together, whether we're going with family and friends. Help us to fellowship well and help us to be safe. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. I hope you have a great week, and we will see you next Sunday. Be safe out there.